shout today. Hallelujah. Wow, that was so powerful. The dance troop, very powerful. Wow, I could see the cloud. I started to keep looking. You know, I was expecting one to happen up here. All right. Well, it is great to be with you today. And yes, as Pastor Patty said, I've been really relating with Dr. Russ and May for, I think, about 25 years. We've been to the actual camp many, many times over that whole couple of decades. And so it's so exciting to see what's happening here with Pastor Alex and Patty. We haven't been here, I think, for maybe it's at least 6 or 7 years, I think, downtown Hamilton. So it's great. It's so good to see all of your faces today. Amen. And some friends from old and friends from new. But I do bring greetings from Bishop Hammond. He just turned 91 years old, the founder of our ministry. And he's still going strong. He's always said and prophesied that he was going to live until he was 95, and then he would decide if he went up or he went on, right? And he's getting very close to that timetable, all right? Just another 4 years, and I guess he'll make that decision. I don't know. But he's doing well, and of course, blessings from Shelley to all of you. She wasn't able to make this trip. We have 5 grandkids, all right, now in our troop, and they all live very near to us, about 5 minutes away. And it was interesting. I met this young little guy here that was up front with flags, and his name is Landon. My oldest grandson is named Landon, all right? And I'm going to tell you a couple stories maybe about him. But I sought the Lord about what he would have me to share with you today. And I really felt that he was going to say that he wants us to focus on destiny, all right? So look your neighbor and say destiny, all right? Actually, the name of my personal ministry is called Destiny Now, all right? And I believe we're in a season of time where we are called to fulfill the destiny that the Lord has for us, all right? And that we're in very strategic times in the kingdom of God, and that we're in times of great acceleration in what's happening in the days that are at hand. And it was interesting, probably 15 years ago, actually, when I was in Canada at a camp, one of the camps, the Lord spoke to me and said that we had crossed a threshold of time, we'd stepped over a timeline, and that we had entered into the days of acceleration, all right? And I knew he was talking about Matthew chapter 24, where it talks about the birth pangs of the last days, and that things were going to speed up and continue to speed up until Jesus comes back again. Amen. And of course, a lot of generations have felt maybe that they would be a generation where Jesus would return, but I think we could be one, all right, in this season of time. There's not a whole lot of things that have to happen before the prophecies that were prophesied about Jesus and about what's happening in the earth, I think could really happen within about 10 years. And I think that's a timeline that we have to really be ready. And I also think that we as a church are going to go through some things and not escape everything that begins to happen in the earth. And that we have to be ready for that. And we have to know that God is still in control, even though it looks like there's going to be some things kind of negative on the world scene, because it tells us that we're to arise and shine in the days of darkness, all right? And something that's unusual for us is to understand how darkness can increase at the same time light increases in the earth. And that usually it's one or the other. We get used to one or the other. If we go into a room and it's dark and we flip a light switch on, light comes and darkness flees away, right? But in this time frame that we're in, we're going to see both happen at the same time, right? Because there actually has to be a fullness of darkness or iniquity, it says, in the earth at the very same time that the church steps into its brightest days in preparation of really teaming together with Jesus for the last, I think, battle that's going to happen on planet Earth. So I'm glad to be alive in this season of time, all right? And most of you, I think, here maybe have not kind of heard where I came from. So my background was science. I'm a chemist, environmental engineer by degree. And so when I was about 26, I was working for a chemical company, and it was a good job, and it was in the Midwest. And the other parts of my life weren't so good, all right? And there was actually a lot of brokenness, a lot of pain on the inside during that season. And some broken relationships and difficult times. And I lived by myself on a farm in the Midwest in Illinois. And one night I was just out walking by myself. And at this point of time, I'm atheist or agnostic, probably, meaning that I wasn't sure if God was real or he existed exactly. The Bible has a name for those people. God calls them fools, actually, is what it says. Those that don't believe in God are fools, all right? And so I was walking, and I remembered somewhere where I'd heard a verse, and it was, "Ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be open." And I just was walking that night, and I said, "God, if you're real, I'm asking for help," right? And then the next thing that happened was that God spoke to me, all right? And it wasn't with an audible voice, but it was with his still small voice on the inside. And he actually told me to go get a Bible that I had buried away with all my college books in a closet. And I just felt like I needed to read something. And so I get this Bible out, and it's a Bible my mom had given me many years before. And it was a giant print Bible, so it was really thick and had really big words, all right? And I think her strategy was, if the words were big, they'd work on me sometime, all right? And so I'm out walking, and the Lord speaks to me to go get this Bible. I get it, I lay down on my living room floor, and I don't really know anything about Old Testament, New Testament, anything like that. So I just opened up and started to read, and it was Matthew 7:7 that says, "Ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened." And so I just really began to weep before the Lord and said, "It's true," meaning that God was real, and that I knew this Bible was going to have a place in my life from then on. And so I got born again that night. Didn't say a typical sinner's prayer, but "It's true" got me in the kingdom, all right, that night. And I was born again, even though I didn't really know that terminology at the time, was born again that night. Now, what most people didn't know, except my really good friends, was that I had been high every day for about 8 years, and had thousands of dollars of marijuana growing on my farm that year, right? That was going to be my cash crop for the year, all right? And so it's great to know that God will speak to unbelievers in a drug culture, all right? And his love will shower on us and bring great transformation. I love the name Transformation Center. And so I was transformed that night, taken from one kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. And then the Lord just began to direct my steps. And so I've always had a real passion for the prophetic, for hearing God's voice. And if there's ever a key to success in the kingdom and in business or anything else, it's hear what God says and do what he says. Right? And so that's important for us to be destiny fulfillers. So after about a year or so, I read the scripture that if you find a wife, you find a good thing. I'll go find a girl whose birthday is 7/7, right? I didn't really think that, but you know what? When I met Shelly, guess what? Her birthday is 7/7, all right? Now, the other unusual thing about this, or really a God thing, I think, is that when I was actually born in the natural, the time was 7/07 on my birth certificate. And so when I got born again, it was a scripture, 7/7. And so sevens have had an important role in our life the whole time. And my daughter got married on 7/7/7. And my grandson, the oldest one, Landon, came in right on time on the 7th, all right, his birthday. And so he's really close to me. He's lived with us most of his life. And so he's a Wheeler dealer now, all right? He just turned 13, all right? I'll just tell you a couple things. He's always thinking business and strategy, all right, and how to make money, all right? And so not too long ago, one of our neighbors put out like a spreader, like a grass spreader that they were not using and wanted to get rid of it. And so he runs down and asks if he can have it, and he gets it, and he brings it back to me, and he tries to sell it to me, all right? And I bought it, all right? But I got to tell you one more story about him. Shelley was changing cars, so we had a car for sale. And so I get it all cleaned up and put it on our church's parking lot. We have a big parking lot at CI at the local church, and it's right along a road that's a popular road. And so I put it there, and for like the first month, I don't have any calls about it or anybody even looking at it, all right? And then I really got fervent in prayer, and so this one man called and said he wanted to buy it or wanted to look at it, and could I meet him there? And so I did, and Landon was with me, all right? And this was when he was about 10 or 11, I guess. So he's with me, and I'm showing the guy around the car, and it was an older Lexus SUV, and he knew a lot about Lexus and was asking me questions. And so I'm showing him, and in the meantime, it's voting day, and we use our church to be a polling place, so people come there to vote. And so a lot of people were just coming in and out of the parking lot that day. And so while I'm showing this man around the car, Landon goes back because this other vehicle just kind of stops behind where we are. And so he goes to talk to them. And so while I'm showing the man around the car, Landon sells the car to the people in the vehicle, all right? They never got out, they never looked at it, they never drove it, all right? But they bought the car, all right? And so he sold the car. And so people always say to me, said, well, did you give him a commission, all right? And I said, I've given him a lot of commissions, all right? He just called me yesterday, and he's in charge of like watering my plants at home. And so his strategy is always to pray for rain, all right? I thought about that in this song where we're looking for a cloud the size of a man's hand. So that's his strategy. So he doesn't have to work to do it. He just prays that it happens, all right? And if it works, I guess it works. So I got to give him credit for that. But he, along with four other grandchildren, are really filling up our household, all right? And there's actually another Gail Shin now, and he's about 6 years old. And so we have a lot of fun with grandkids. How many here have grandkids? All right, yeah, they're a lot of fun. So my daughter always says, she's like my right-hand assistant, said, you always let them do stuff you never let us do, all right? Which is probably true, but all right. So I want to share with you about your destiny, and some of that has to do with legacy and families stepping into destiny. We heard part of a song tonight that talked about hearing the sound, all right? And so that's how we actually got teamed with Christian International, myself. I never met Bishop Hammond. I didn't know the leaders that are there. But early in Bishop Hammond's ministry career, when there weren't many people that he was that were following the vision, or I think he said $50 a month maybe was coming in for support, that he talked to the Lord and he said, God, how am I going to get people to connect with what you've put in my heart to do? And he said the Lord spoke to him and said that it would be like a tuning fork. When you hit a tuning fork, it makes a sound, right? And he said that there would be a sound in the realm of the spirit that people would hear and that would connect with their spirits. And so that's exactly what happened for us. We heard that sound, and when we did, in about 2 weeks, we sold our house and moved from the Midwest to Florida to be a part of the vision there and to really step into the next step of destiny, all right, for us. And so we've had a great time ever since. I came from a very rigid church in the Midwest, a very controlling church. And so in some ways it was like freedom really happened, right? When we were kind of swooped out of there and transplanted at CI. So this is a time and a season where God has some really great things for us to step into concerning destiny. And my passion and the one great thing that Shelly and I get to do is that we get to help people fulfill destiny, all right? I oversee our network of ministers in the U.S., and we have about 800 in the U.S. and many more global ones. But I get to work with them, help them in their ministry pursuits, and help them fulfill destiny. And so that's really my passion. And so the great news for each of you today is God has a very unique destiny for you, right? We're called to run a race, and the great news is there's nobody else in your race, all right? You're the only one in your lane that God has called to be in that lane. And so it's just a matter of whether we actually fulfill our destiny or whether we don't, all right? And I really believe that there's really grace that he's pouring out in this season so that we can be destiny fulfillers. Because really, if the church corporately is ever going to come to the place of fulfilling destiny, it means that individually we have to come to that place as well. And so the Lord has many unique callings for each of you. And I just want to read a scripture to start with from Ephesians. It's going to be in Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 15. And it says, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And this, is, of course, is Paul talking here. And in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. And I pray that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance of the saints and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. All right. And so Paul prayed really three things here. Prayed that the eyes of understanding would be open so that they would know the hope of their calling. And that really means their destiny. And also what's the riches of the inheritance of the saints together. And then finally, and the surpassing greatness of his power, right, that he releases to us. And so when we're born again, all right, everything changes, all right? And we're made up of kind of three parts, spirit, soul, body. And so when we get born again, our spirit man is recreated in an instant, all right? And we're really transferred from darkness to light to the kingdom of Jesus. But then we have to walk it out, right? And our soul man, which is like our mind, our emotions, and everything in that realm, doesn't all change instantly. And we have to walk through some things to see that transformation power happen. And the Lord begins to change us. And I think what he really wants to do is change us from the inside out, right? And so not rules and regulations, but really wants to change our heart so that we have a passion to be pleasing to him, all right? I think if there's anything that will help you stay on your destiny track the most, it will be if we have that passion to be pleasing to him, all right? And then if we have that passion, that we will make decisions based upon that, and that we will make choices that will align with that, and we'll be on track, all right? And there's great grace for us to help us along the way. Angels many times will be on assignment with us to get breakthroughs that we need to have. And many times it will be the power, you know, when we're born again, the Bible says that we have dunamis, dynamite, miracle-working power that's resident within us, whether we feel like it or not, right? And so many of the keys of fulfilling destiny has to do with making choices. Sometimes to make a choice in what we don't really want to do, right? And that's one of the keys, I think. I think that the destiny fulfillers that I've seen are people that have had to make hard choices, all right? I heard Tom Brady, you know, he's a football, great football quarterback in the U.S. when he was talking to someone, he said, you know, it's not easy to pursue something. He said, you know, when all of my friends and buddies are eating at IHOP in the morning and having pancakes. I'm in the gym at 5 a.m. Working out, having a very strict diet, you know, all these kind of things. So he said, to be great in something, it takes some work to make that happen. And so that's kind of true with our walk with the Lord too. It's gonna take some things where we commit our lives to him, and that then he'll be there to help us. And so when I got born again that night, I didn't go to all the parties that I used to go to. So pretty much every weekend I would be home by myself. And during that time, probably that first year, Jesus became my best friend, all right? Talk to him more than anybody else, and I think that's still true today. And so Jesus wants to be your best friend, all right? And he wants you to know that he's on your side to help you fulfill the destiny that he's called you to. And so did we get the slides to work? Are they going to work? Okay, so I want to share some things with you today about a story. All right, and this is the story of Esther and Mordecai and the Hebrew kind of holiday. It's called Purim. And one of the things that's important to know is that you're in the kingdom now for such a time as this, all right? You're in a generation, whether it be young or old, that God is going to use to cause his church to be very successful. I just hear for this young band in the back with the dance shirt. I heard the Lord say for you that there's an anointing on you for business success. All right, and that he's given you a lot of sharp intellect, all right, and you're going to do well in school and academics, you're going to excel, but the Lord's also going to put some new ideas in your heart, like an entrepreneur. All right, and he's going to show you some things that others haven't done before, and you're going to be able to develop business ideas right at the age you are now, all right, that's going to take you on through into some other seasons, all right? I'm working with a young guy actually from Brazil who's starting a new company And it's a company to help entrepreneurs be successful. And it's an AI, new AI platform. And he developed one business. He's under 30. He developed one business already. And that business, I think, now is worth over $100 million. He sold it. Had to do with agriculture. So he's developing this new one that's going to help entrepreneurs be successful. And so sometimes your calling won't be within the walls of the church, although you're still part of a church and a key part. But many times people are going to be called to fulfill destiny in business, in government, in different places where God wants to use you and where he wants to influence people in places that maybe will never come through the doors of a church, all right, and that have to be reached and touched somewhere else. And so that's why I think the Lord is really shifting a lot of things. Canada, I believe, is in a position to be shifted, all right? I believe, like in this, we talked about the birth pangs of the last day. I really see Canada in a place where the birthing for everything he has for Canada hasn't happened yet in the way that it will. But it's almost like in that birthing process with a baby, where the baby has to get turned the right way before birthing can happen. There's going to be some things that shift with this nation that will birth the new that he has for you. And I really believe that, you know, one of the things that Bishop teaches is about when Jesus returns, that there are going to be sheep and goat nations, those that are aligned with God and those that are not, all right? And the U.S., you know, over the last, I would say, you know, 6 years or so, we were headed more to being a goat nation, all right, than we were a sheep nation. But that's shifting, right? And we've getting a lot of Christians in high places of government, all right, that are causing a shift for righteousness to begin to happen. And so that's a good thing. And I believe that the Lord has something similar that he wants to happen for Canada, all right? Yeah. Amen. And so he's going to use many of you to help that shift happen, all right? Because usually things have to shift in the spiritual realm before we see it manifest in the earthly realm. And so we have to have eyes to see kind of that cloud the size of a man's hand about what he wants to birth and what he wants to do. I hear from my brother and sister, the third row back, all right? You have a light shirt and a kind of a, I'm not sure what color that is, but pretty dress. I'll just say that, all right? I hear the Lord say for you guys that you're part of the new thing that God wants to do in the nation and in people's lives. And for you, brother, I hear the Lord say that you're one that ponders a lot of things and weighs them in your heart and weighs them in your mind about what that choice should be and how you should act. And what you should do. And I hear the Lord say that there's going to come some new revelation, all right, of positioning for you that's going to help you get into the next step of your calling individually. And for you, sister, I hear the Lord say that you're a prayer warrior, all right, and that your prayers are very effectual. And the enemy sometimes tries to tell you they're not, all right, but they are, all right, and the Lord wants you to know that they are. But what I see for you as a team is that you're going to be able to influence a lot of young married individuals and people. And a lot of those will not be in the church, are going to be out there where you are on a daily basis, all right? And that the Lord's going to use you prophetically to touch them and to speak sometimes words of wisdom and knowledge that will help change your life and shift things. And for you, sister, I hear the Lord say that there's family members that you're really warring for concerning their destiny. And that you've seen some difficult times growing up in some of the situations you were in. But the Lord says that as you are in the trenches praying for them, there are things shifting that you don't see yet in the natural. But not to give up on it, all right? And know that you're affecting their lives in a powerful way. And so, Father, I just loose that now, Father, to my brother and sister, in the name of Jesus. That night, when I got saved, my sister-in-law and her prayer partner were actually praying for me that night, all right? And so I know they were instrumental in me being able to make a choice to come into the kingdom. And they were pushing back darkness that would even try to hold me and hold on to me and brought me to a place where I could make a choice of freedom. And so the story of Esther and Mordecai and Purim, I'll just kind of summarize it. We won't actually go there and read it all. But basically, there was a king and there was an evil man named Haman that tricked the king almost to write a decree, all right, that was very much against the Jewish people of the time. And so they were in a bad place about what was going to happen to them. This Haman set up this trick and actually had gallows to hang people on that was really meant for the Jews at that time. But something happened, and that was Esther was the niece of Mordecai. Mordecai was her uncle. And so the king had wives at that time, different wives. And so Esther was one that was in the kind of this group that had been chosen of a possibility of having a queen come from the group. And so she's in this group, and her uncle Mordecai said, the reason that you're there is because God wants to use you. All right. And the reason that you are there is to help shift what was going to happen to the Jewish people at large. And he said to her, you're in the kingdom for such a time as this. All right. And so the Lord is saying that to us today, that we're in the kingdom for such a time as this. And so she had to risk everything to go before the king. And if he wouldn't have found favor with her, it would have meant she would have died. She would have been killed. But she did find favor. And the king then began to write another decree that canceled the first one. And so the very gallows that Haman built, he was hung on, right? And actually a bunch of his sons. And so that's a story of divine reversals, all right? Divine reversals. And so some of you today need a divine reversal, all right, in some of the situations that you're in right now. And that the Lord wants you to know that he is a God of divine reversals. If you need some kind of a divine reversal in finances, in family, in health, just raise one of your hands today. And I want to make a decree over you guys that it's going to be a season where God can reverse things. And so, Father, right now, I thank you, Lord, that you are a God, Father, that has grace for us and that you enable us to make shifts and transformations and bring divine reversals. And Lord, we decree today, Lord, Father, that you're going to be a God that brings reversal in each one that has hands raised today. God, you're going to shift things, you're going to move things, and you're going to make things concerning destiny to be complete and to be fulfilled. Amen. I hear, this was Solomon, right, in the back? Yeah. I hear for you, Solomon, that the Lord's given you ability in the seeing realm, and that God visits you sometimes in that way, with dreams, with visions, seeing pictures. And I hear the Lord say that he's going to begin to water that in some unique ways. And he's going to give you actually some bold strategies for evangelism in this city. All right. And you're going to find great favor in the midst of people. They're going to relate to you. They're going to be touched by what you have to say. And that you're really a pioneer that many others are going to be able to follow a pathway that you have made for them concerning their lives and their destiny. And I hear the Lord saying that concerning housing, he has a plan for you, all right, to reverse some things that have been there and that to bring the new to you in this season. And so, Father, right now, I just decree over Solomon today, Lord, Father, that you're going to shift him in new ways, unique ways of destiny. And, Lord, I just see with homes, houses, lands, God, that he's going to find favor and that he's going to step into properties that come into his hands in very unique ways. It won't all be just by typical contracts and mortgages and ways like that. There's going to be some divine anointing, Lord, that will cause properties to come into his hands. And Lord, I loose that and decree it over him today in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. And for my brother and sister right here in the second row, I hear the Lord saying for you guys that he's raising you up to be an example for families, for homes, for marriages, and that the Lord's going to use you in that way to minister to some people that are on the brink of divorce, that have difficulty in marriage situations, and that you're going to have an ability to help bring divine reversals to them, all right, and to cause their marriages to be solidified in some great ways. You both have a real prophetic anointing in your hearts, and God's going to begin to reveal himself to you, and there's going to come a new ease of hearing his voice, all right, and the way that God communicates with you, and that he's going to be able to, you're going to be able to trust him more by what he's saying and speaking, knowing that it's him that's doing it, and it's not just your thoughts that you're having. And so the Lord's releasing that in some real significant ways. Do you have a natural sister? The sister here, do you have a natural sister? Okay, just one? Two. I'm sensing for the younger of the two, and she's not here today, right? She's not here. That the Lord has a plan for her that you haven't seen yet, all right? And that God has a divine reversal for her in the situations that she's in right now. And that he's going to break some of the shackles of soul ties. There's some soul ties that are there that aren't good. And that the Lord's going to begin to break the power of soul ties. And she's going to be set up for freedom, right? And that there's going to come some things this year for her that will not look good, all right, for her. And it'll be somewhat of a shaking in her life of difficulty. But the Lord wants you to know that it's not to destroy her, all right, but it's only to realign her with who God has called her to be. And so there's going to be a new revelation of that coming to her this year. And she's going to call you up, all right? And she's going to sound totally different than she ever has before, all right? And it's going to be because God's pouring out his spirit on all flesh in this time, believers, unbelievers, and he's really pouring out his spirit on her. And what's her name, the young one? Oh? Okay, Father, we just send your word now, Father, to her, this young sister, and Lord, we decree a divine reversal for her, Father, in kingdom purposes and kingdom plans, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. You know, one of my wife, Shelley's sister, was a crack addict for about 10 years or so, and we prayed for her and, you know, really believed for her, and did everything that we knew to do to help her, all right? One day, I'm in my office at CI, and I get a call from her. Her name's Vicky, and she never called me, like, in the office. So I'm thinking, I wonder what's going on. And when I answer and I begin to talk to her, I hear her crying, like, on the other end of the phone. And she's just telling me that she just made Jesus her Lord, all right, and got born again. And then she was positioned in a whole new way in her life in every way. And she went on to be crack free and follow the Lord. So things can shift suddenly. Amen. Can shift suddenly. I tell a story, I mentioned it at camp this time, with Dr. Russ. Dr. Russ and I, we've had a lot of fun times together. We've played a lot of golf together. We've been with them in Israel when they had a house there. But one time, I'm ministering in Pensacola, Florida, where the dwelling place is, his church. And I tell the people that night that I read an article about eagles, and that what the article said was Florida was a number two place in the population of eagles, and Alaska was number one, right? And so I told the people, I said, I read that. I said, but I've lived in Florida for 25 years, and I've never seen an eagle, all right? And just happened to tell them that. The next morning, Dr. Russ takes me out on the golf course. On the very first hole of the golf course, eagles start to gather in the trees. And this is in Florida, the golf course. And so I'm like seeing these eagles, and I'm thinking, I just told the people last night I've never seen one, and here they are in the treetops. But the most amazing thing was one of the eagles came down. It was like a big eagle. One of the eagles came down and walked with us for the first three holes of the golf course, all right, which was a long way. And so Dr. Russ tried to feed it crackers and things and didn't like any of that. But it stuck right with us, like as close to, you know, where we could get near enough to it that it could have eaten out of our hand. And so now I'm riding in the golf cart and I'm thinking, wow, this is really crazy. Last night I tell the people that I've never seen an eagle, and now one is walking with me, all right, on the golf course, all right? And the Lord spoke something very clear to me, and he said, everything can change in a day, all right? Everything can change in a day. So some of your situations can shift and change in a day, all right? And God can make things happen in very unique ways, all right? As long as we have our faith level up and that we are believing him for what he's saying for us. And so back to the story of Esther and Mordecai, it ended up that God turned everything around positioned her to actually help save a multitude of people, kind of the Jewish race of that point of time, which was a favored race that God had for his people from Abraham on. And so we can go to this next slide. And so one of the ways that we are going to step into the new things is that we have to expect, right? It says that faith is a substance of things hoped for, all right? Faith is a substance of things hoped for. And so I've seen a lot of miracles, signs, wonders, miracles that have happened. And if there's a commonality to it, it's that the expectation was high, all right? And wherever our expectation is high, God can really do great things and make great things happen for us. And it's important to know that God does have good things for you, all right, for each one. And on the destiny path he's put you on, he wants you to have freedom, number one, all right, free to serve him, free to be who he's called you to be. And he's going to be there to make that happen. All right, we can go to this next one. And then sometimes it seems like there's a big gap between where we are and where we think God wants to take us. And the good news is the bridge that will help that gap is grace, all right? And God's grace is abundant for us. I don't know if you can see the other side of this, but on the other side, there's actually a tree that's there. It must not be coming up that way, but on the other side of this cliff is like a bright spot where God is taking this person, and it will be by grace that we get there. And so one of the things that we need to have is hope, all right, in our heart. Hope for change, hope for something to be different, hope to take us into the plan that God has for us. And the great news is he actually does have good plans that he wants to bring to us. And he wants to help us get there in every way that he can. Now, one of the things that the enemy tries to use to hinder us a lot is fear, all right? Fear will try to hold on to us and keep us from stepping out, from taking a risk, from doing maybe what God's called us to do. I'll tell you a story. When I got born again, I lived by myself on a farm in the Midwest. And almost as soon as I got born again, these owls came to my trees at night. And I mean like a bunch of owls, like 50 or so, all right, would fill the trees around my house. And they would hoot, all right, like that you've heard owls, what the sound they make. So they would do this like all night, you know, and it was like this really eerie kind of a thing. And so it was troubling for me at the time. And I was just learning about the spirit realm and demons and things like that. So there was some fear connected with this. And so one day, when I'm working at the chemical company, it's close enough I can drive home for lunch. And so I drove home this day for lunch, and it was raining outside, real kind of a dark and dreary kind of a day. And so I go through my front door, and I'm like walking through the house. And as I'm walking through the house, I just feel like these eyes looking at me, right? And I turned, and on one of the windows, above the window, is where these eyes were coming from, right? And so I'm thinking, I don't know if this is a demon, I don't know what this is, but I just kept right on walking, all right, and not looking at it. And then as I got into my kitchen, I could like peek around the corner to look back into this room. And when I looked back into this room, the eyes that had been looking this way turned and looked at me again, right? And so then I stepped back in the kitchen again, and I thinking, what am I going to do, all right? You know, what am I going to do? And at the time, it was a time where the word of faith was very popular in the U.S., the teachings, and there's one person in particular I'd been listening to named Kenneth Copeland, all right, which really taught a lot about faith and authority and all those kind of things. So when I stepped back in the kitchen, I thought, what would Kenneth Copeland do in this situation, all right? And so it was take authority, all right? We have to take authority. And so I stepped back around this way and went towards this window. And as I'm going to the window, I said, I take dominion over you in the name of Jesus. And it was a real owl, all right, that was now in my house. This owl began to fly. It like flapped its wings about once and fell to the floor, all right? And I had to roll it up in a rug and take it outside and let it go, all right? And so that was a day where I conquered fear in some ways, all right? And after that happened, the owls never came back to the trees again, all right? And so many times God will have you in places where the force of fear you're going to have to win over, right? And many times that will keep us from being all that God's called us to be. And so I just want to pray that over you today. If any of you are in situations where there's a fear you feel like that's locked you down or locked you out of the destiny God has, that he wants to break the power of fear over you, all right, and that we can trust in him for good things to happen. And so, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, well, I take dominion over forces of fear, Lord, that would war with people and that would try to hold them back and try to stop them from fulfilling the destiny that you've called them to. And Lord, we decree, Lord, Father, that by the power of the might of who you are in us, Lord, we can advance in this season and we can step into every new thing that God has for us and for each one today. And Lord, I decree that over you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, you're going to take more land than you ever thought you would. Okay, so we can go on to this. Oh, there it goes. The tree came back. Hallelujah. We broke the power of fear and the tree came back. Hallelujah. All right, and that represents just fruitfulness that God has for us. I'll tell you something kind of funny. Many times with marriages, Shelley and I are completely the opposite. All right, in every realm, from likes and dislikes and styles and design and all those kind of things. And I see some eyes like looking at each other today that maybe you're like that too. And sometimes God will definitely put us together with people that are totally different than we are. Bishop Hammond says, if you think God has marriage just to make people happy, you're wrong. He has marriages so the iron can sharpen iron and you can fulfill destiny, all right? And so we have kind of completely different styles and likes and designs. So really the only thing we had in common when we were together was Jesus, all right? That was it. She came from a very rigid Baptist background. I came right out of the world and drug culture, kind of. And so God threw us together and sparks flew, but they weren't all good, all right? There were some sparks that weren't so good. But God did it. We always knew that. And we had a prophetic marriage, actually. We knew we were going to get married before we ever dated, all right? And so we were kind of a part of just like a young adult group. And so we were never really out alone. I think the second time I was ever out alone to do anything with her, we might have gone to a wedding or something, she said to me, "So are we going to get married or what?" All right. And so it was, yes, we're going to get married. All right. And so we got married 2 months later. God put us together to fulfill destiny. And this year, we will have been married 43 years. All right. So it worked. All right. It worked. But as the story goes, men are easy to figure out, all right? And it doesn't take you long to figure a man out. Women are more difficult, all right, to know what they're thinking, how the reaction sometimes, and everything like that. And so there's a biblical reason for that, all right? And the reason is the man was asleep when God created the woman, all right? So he didn't ever know what happened, all right? Well, just like when he woke up, she was there, all right? And so we have to have eyes to see, all right, when that God gives to us. But one of the scriptures, we can go on to this next one that I really like. This one is a great one. For by grace you've been saved through faith, all right, and that's a gift from God. And then we can go on to the next one. And this next one is one that I think is really important for us to know. And if we could go to that next slide, can we get there? Maybe it's not coming up. All right. Okay, there we go. All right. It comes from Jeremiah 29:11, and here's what it says. "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future, right? And so that's God's plan for each one of us, to give us a hope and to give us a future. My grandson, the younger one that's named Gail Shan, when he was about two, a little bit, maybe about the size of this little land, a little bit older, he had a blanket that he loved, a favorite blanket that he always wanted to be with him. And so anytime he laid down to go to bed, he had to have this blanket. And so I'm just like watching him one day, and I notice that if it's a time where he doesn't want to go to sleep, he doesn't want the blanket around him at all because he thinks the blanket puts him to sleep, all right? And so if we try to give him the blanket and he doesn't want to sleep, he'll throw the blanket away. And this happens over and over again. And so I'm watching all this, and the Lord speaks to me, and he said, sometimes you're like that. And I said, you know, like you as in the kingdom. I said, how's that? And he said, a lot of times we throw away the hope blankets that God's trying to give to us, all right? And that the reason we throw them away is because there's been discouragement in the past. There's been something we've prayed for that didn't turn out the way we wanted it to. And there's something that makes us not want to hope again, right? And so one of the things that's important to fulfill destiny is hope, all right? And that God wants to release hope today to each one of you about what's possible in where God is taking you and what he has for you. And so I just want to make a decree over you that you're not going to throw away any hope blankets, all right, that God gives you. And that many times just a glimmer of hope will be what makes the door burst open into what God has for us, because he will do that. And he'll open doors for us that will take us into something that we never thought was possible in another season. And I just hear from my sister in the mauve dress that the Lord's given you a hope blanket today, all right? And that there's been a limit to what you see as possible, right, for what God has for you. And that the Lord's taken you a long ways into the destiny plan that he has. But there's a whole new set of things that God has for you that are more than you've expected in the past. All right. And he's going to cause your expectation level to increase, right, in this season, to take you into the realm of the things he has to bless you. And so, Father, I just release that now, Father, to my sister. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you have some surprises for her, Lord, on the pathway that you have for her. And Lord, that you're watching over your word to perform it in her life. And Lord, I decree that today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, you know, the Bible tells us in Romans that he does have a good plan for us to fulfill, and he wants us to walk that out. And it also says that all things work together for good, all right, for those that love the Lord and that are called according to his purpose. And so many times we'll have to go through some difficult seasons, all right, and always hold on to hope in our heart that God has the best plan. And one of the most important things for us to be a destiny fulfiller is to really believe God has the best plan for us, right? Because sometimes it'll be in a situation where his pathway is not something we necessarily want to do, all right? God doesn't always just lead us in the desires that we think we have. Many times we have to hold fast to him so that we can lay hold of his desires, and that's where true destiny will happen. Now, I believe there has been more people at this point of time that has never fulfilled destiny than those that have, all right? I look at some lives, and I think, you know, there's lives that have been fulfilled, and that I believe they did fulfill the race that God's called them to. But I'd say there's many more that have not, all right? But the good news is, I think, for the season that we're in right now, is that God's grace is going to be there to help us do all he's called us to do. Amen? And so expectation and hope is going to be a way that we get there. And this comes in the scripture in Romans 8, 28. And so this slide says, your destiny, choose it or lose it. All right. Our destiny, we either have to choose or we lose. All right. But when we really believe he has the best plan, it's easy for us to make a good choice. All right. And to know that God's in it. He's going to work with us for us to be successful in all the things that he has called us to do. I hear from my sister in the back that was on the dance troupe. Yeah, against the wall. I heard the Lord say for you that there's a boldness in you that was similar to what Deborah was like in the Bible. And she was one that even the man that was kind of in the leading at that point of time, Barak, didn't want to go fight in the war that God had called them to. But Deborah said, all right, we need to do it, all right? And so she encouraged this Barak to join her in this battle, and they had great victories in it all. And so I hear the Lord say that he's putting an anointing in you for boldness, all right? And that you are called to impact a young generation, all right, in really strong ways. And there's going to be a strong anointing for the prophetic that's in your heart. And so you're going to be one that prophesies, makes decrees. This Deborah was a judge along with the other things that she did. And so she actually judged righteously in matters. And so I hear the Lord say that he's giving you that ability to make righteous judgments concerning choice and destiny, and that he'll use you for breakthrough. And so, Father, we just loose that now. Father, to my sister, in Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. And you know what the Lord has for each one of you is some new seasons of breakthrough, all right? And when you think about breakthrough, it's not just that we kind of break through and come back. True breakthrough is when we break through and that we stay in this place where we've advanced and that we begin to occupy and take territory in new ways, all right? And so I just hear for the Transformation Center, all right, that there is this kind of anointing for breakthrough, all right, that's going to touch Hamilton, even though you already have in great ways. There's a lot more that he's going to bring to you in the days and in the season ahead. And I see the Lord causing you to find great favor with the governmental leaders of the city. And that they're going to see the efforts that you have put into the city and to see the impact that you've had. And because of that, there will be favor, new favor, that will open up new doors for you, all right? And I just see that there's going to be other facilities that are going to come into your hand in the days and the years ahead. And some of those are going to be facilities that the government structure of the city owns and possesses, and that they're going to be able to release those into impact for you that's going to enable you to reach different aspects of the city in different ways. And so I just see like the multiplication happening for you in this season, and that as you've been faithful in the trenches for many years here, that you're coming to this new season of visibility in the city, all right, where they're going to see what you're doing and some that haven't ever before. And when they begin to see what's happening, it's going to cause that next door to be open. Sometimes we go through doors by faith. Other times we go through windows by grace. And that's when God just lifts us up and takes us into a new level. And it's almost like we don't even know how it happened, but it will just be uniquely God. And so, Father, I just release that. Father, anointing on the Transformation Center. Father, this day of multiplicity and increase, Lord, the favor of the Lord to rest upon them in strong and in powerful ways. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that there's a harvest in this city to be realized and to even see come into your kingdom for such a time as this. And so there's going to be new outreaches that happen here. I just see like the hub. This is like the hub of God's vision that's here. But you're going to have like vector, like rays that go out. And that sometimes those vectors and rays are going to be people, all right, that God sends to different parts of the city. And that there's going to be a reaping of harvest in different parts of the city. And I see like God's going to raise up leaders here, and they're going to be even sent out, some to begin home churches, some to begin to develop Bible studies, some to do different and unique things. But I just see like vector rays going out from this hub. And so, Lord, we decree, Lord, your favor to begin to water the Transformation Center, Lord, in unique ways, Lord. To be revealed, to be seen, and to be made visible. And Lord, I loose that and decree that now in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. You know, part of this season of time has to do with us making great advancements in what God has for us to step into. And I hear from my brother and sister back here with the pink and the gray jacket for you guys that he does have some leaps for you to take, all right? And that you, brother, I sense that the Lord has given you a characteristic of weighing things in a balance, all right? I just see like a balance where things are weighed either right or wrong, true or false, and that the Lord has put within you an ability to discern some false things, all right? And so God's going to use that prophetic anointing to begin to divide some things from truth to things that are false, and he's going to use you to speak that and to even decree that at times to bring people into a position of making a choice about which way to go and whether it's going to be the true path or not, and that the Lord's going to use you strongly in that way. And for you, sister, I just hear the Lord say that you are a vessel of hope, all right? And that God's put that ability within you to stand and see the salvation of God in difficult situations and times. But it's going to be the hope that he's put within your heart that will always lead you into the next thing concerning destiny that he has for you. And that you're going to make some significant strides this year. And I see great leaps that you're going to begin to take into destiny. And I really believe that for everyone, God has some significant leaps to take, all right, this year. In my background in science, one of the things I learned about was something called quantum leaps, all right, or quantum jumps. And it has to do with molecules and atoms and electrons. And what happens is that these electrons are like zooming around the central part of a nucleus in orbit, and it ends up making like a kind of a full circle. And what happens with these electrons at some points of time is that they jump from one energy level to a whole new level, all right? And theoretically, they never exist in between there, right? They're either in one or they're in the other, all right? And never have to go in between. And so That's what God has in store for some of you. He wants to take you to a whole new level that will be kind of an instant kind of a change for you. And that's what really a quantum jump is, or a quantum leap is. And it's kind of funny because the technical term of what happens to the electrons before they make the leap is that they get excited. All right, the electrons get excited and they make this jump, all right, into the next level. And so sometimes God has to get us excited, right, to make this jump to the next level. For my brother in the third row on the aisle, all right, with a black t-shirt, all right, yeah, looking around, yeah, you right, yeah, right there. I hear the Lord say for you that He has some leaps like that for you, and that you've had to walk through some difficult days, and it seems sometimes like you were taking one step forward, and then the enemy would hit with something and feel like you went a couple steps backwards. But God's saying now that He's going to begin to blow His wind, all right, on you. All right. And so it's time for you, like a sailboat, to put your sail up and catch the wind of God. All right. And as you catch that wind, that's what's going to accelerate you forward at a faster pace than even you've been on up to this time. And that's been one of the frustrations, is that things didn't seem to be happening quick enough in terms of what you felt in your heart to be and to do. And I hear the Lord say that this grace wind blowing on you is what will accelerate that. And so, Father, I loose this now. Father, to this young man, Father, I thank you, Lord, for every plan you have for him, and Lord, for the wind of your Spirit that will take him to this next level, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, how many are ready to make a jump this year? Into the new things that God has for you. I'm not sure, what time do we need to be out at a certain time? Okay, we're okay? Okay, all right. All right, well, how many people are in some kind of a miracle in terms of healing? A healing miracle of any sort? All right, some here. I'm just gonna have you stand up. We've seen tremendous miracles happen in healing, and I'll tell you one quick story about the difference between open doors and windows. I was scheduled for a back surgery last October. It would be my fifth low back surgery. I played a lot of sports, ruptured a disc in college, playing softball, and then had different kind of incidents along my life. And so I've had four low back surgeries, and they all turned out good, and I was getting ready to have another one, all right? And so 1 week before the surgery, the surgeon's office called me and said my blood sugar levels were too high, and they wanted to postpone it, all right? Now, I don't know about you, but I'm typically not one that likes delays, all right? Most people don't like delays, and I'm one of those for sure. And so I said, well, okay, I guess whatever we need to do, you know? And so so it was postponed, and after about a month, I realized that my back has been completely healed, all right? It was like a miracle happened. And it wasn't like a one time when someone prayed on me and everything changed. It was just like I kind of woke up one day and it was healed. And so I canceled the surgery and never had it. And I'm fine today and my back's doing great. And my new sport is pickleball now. All right. I like to play pickleball. And so so that was just a good thing that happened. And then the other thing that happened in terms of getting my blood sugars lined out, they gave me something called Mounjaro, right? Which is a thing that helps level out your blood sugars. And so I started taking the Mounjaro last October, and one of the benefits, side benefits of Mounjaro is you lose weight. All right. And so since October of last year, I've lost over 40 pounds. All right. And I feel healthy and I feel better. The young guys I was playing pickleball got worn out before I was. All right. And so that's a good sign. But what the Lord showed me over these last couple of years is that sometimes we go through doors and we go through the doors by faith. And that means that we have a target, we have a goal, we're believing God for something, and He helps us, all right, to fulfill that and to see that happen. And that's kind of the way we go through doors. And sometimes we have to pray to make it happen. Sometimes we have to make decrees to make it happen. Sometimes we have to do prophetic acts to make it happen. So we're actively engaged in going through these doors of faith, all right? But at other times, the Lord will just take us through windows by grace. And these last couple of years on Hebrew calendar was 1 year of doors, 1 year of windows, all right? And so we're in the season of windows right now, where God, by His grace, will just make things happen, all right? And we just benefit from that. And it's sometimes even surprising what He does. And so that's what I'm believing for each one of you today, is that there's some windows of grace to take you through, to get the healing, if you feel like it's something that's holding your destiny back, all right, that He wants you to know that He wants to break every assignment that's hindering you from going into the next season that He has for you. And we're going to have to be in shape, quite honest, all right, to do some of the things He's called us to do. And so whatever it is in your body that you need today, Father, I thank You, Lord, that You're a God of miracles, Lord, and You work miracles for us. And Lord, that sometimes we believe You just by faith to get it, and other times, Lord, just because of Your love for us, You pour out Your Spirit, Lord, and we receive miracles just because You are a good God. And Lord, I thank You for each one today, Lord, that are believing You for breakthroughs in their body, their physical body. And Lord, some here need even some healing in emotions and in the soul realm. And Father, I thank You that You do both, Lord, You heal us in every arena, spirit, soul, and body. And Lord, I decree over each one today, Lord, Father, Your power of life and of health to touch them and to empower them for the days and for the years ahead. And Lord, I loose that now, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen, amen. Okay, you can be seated again. For my brother in the plaid shirt in the back, all right, I hear for you that you are going to be one of great faith, all right? When Jesus talks about people of great faith, there were two that He said had great faith, and it wasn't the disciples. You know, they usually, the charge for them was usually, you know, why are you doubting? Why you have unbelief? But there are two that He said had great faith. One was the centurion. The other was the Syrophoenician woman that had the issue of blood. And the centurion had a revelation that just by the power of the word, things could change. And so when he told Jesus about his servant that needed healing, then he said, but I know you don't even have to go to my house, just send your word and he'll be healed, all right? And so I hear the Lord saying for you that you're going to be very strong in the word, all right? And that the word's going to have a deep place in your heart, and that the Lord's going to use you in a teaching role, all right? He's going to raise you up to be a teacher, right? And some of that will be biblical kind of things that He's going to use you in that way. But some of that is in the marketplace, right? That God's given you some unique giftings and anointing for the marketplace. And that over this next year or so, there's going to be some days of promotion that come to you, and that the Lord's going to promote you in the arenas that you function in, and that in those new places, part of that will be like you're going to be mentoring some and teaching some in those venues, because God's put a lot in your heart to do and to be. And so, Father, for this young man, Lord, we loose your anointing, Father, of days of promotion, Father, a strong teaching anointing. He's going to put things down line upon line, precept upon precept, Lord, and impact many lives with strong biblical stories and strong biblical words. And Lord, that even the Word of God, Jesus alive, will help him do that. And Lord, I loose that now, Father, to him today in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen, 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 amen. All right, all right. Well, the Lord is just speaking some things to me, some words of knowledge. Words of knowledge are very important. It's one of the ways God ministers to us, all right? And so one of the things I'm hearing today is that a lot of you, or some of you at least, have been believing for some housing change, all right? For a change in your housing, in the place you are living, that God's put some dreams in your heart that haven't happened yet. And if that's you, I just want you to stand up quickly today. Okay, right here. All right. All right. You're believing for homes and houses and lands. All right. This is going to be a season where that can happen. To give you a quick summary of when we moved to Florida, we left everything behind. And so it was really difficult for the first years there in terms of employment, housing, all those kind of things. We moved six times the first 6 months we were in Florida. Couldn't find a place for a week and 2 weeks, a month, and so it was a difficult time. Couldn't find a job anywhere. Finally found a job. The only challenge was that it was 3.5 hours away, one way. And so I commuted to this job because I knew I was still to be at CI. That's where the Lord had planted me. One thing that's important is to be where you're planted. That's where your roots are going to go deep, all right? And that's where you'll blossom into your destiny. And so one morning, one of our prophets had a word like just for the church, and the church was that God was going to release an ability to buy property and land over the next 30 days, all right? So it was like a time limit on that. Now, at the time, we don't have any money, all right? But you can grab the word, all right, and God will watch over his word to perform it, all right? And so I went out and started looking at property, all right, and found this one tract of land, 5 acres, that wasn't spectacular. It was just like scrub pine trees and a sand road, but in my spirit, man, I knew that was it. All right. And many times God will lead us by our spirit when our head doesn't understand why. All right. And that was in this case. So we had to believe for $1,000 to put down on a contract. And we ended up buying the property for $27,500, right? And we actually ended up putting a mobile home on the property and lived there. The Lord really spoke to me that we were not to build anything on it, but to have it available, like to be land. And so after we lived there a couple of years, they decide to make a new town in our county in Florida, and it's a very tourist-oriented place. We have beautiful, like, white sand beaches and aquamarine water, kind of like the Caribbean, it looks like. And so when we got sent there to live, it was like we were on vacation for a while, right, just by the place it was. So we're living on this property, and finally I get another insight from the Lord that it was time to sell it. And so I met with a realtor and asked him, you know, what he thought we should list it at. And he said, well, he said, I think it's worth well over $1 million. All right. And my mouth kind of fell open. But the reason was because they were doing this new town, and Newtown, the plot of it, was going to land on our land, some of it. And so so I first was going to put it up for $1.2 million, and someone talked to me and said, I think you're supposed to raise it $300,000 prophetically, kind of had that word for us. And so we listed it at $1.5 million, and it sold at $1.5 million. So from $27,000 to $1.5 million, and it was all through the power of a prophetic word. All right. So prophetic words can create great things in our life. Now, if you ask me 20 years later, what does the property look like? I would tell you nothing changed. All right. It was still scrub pine trees and the sand road. And the reason was the county decided never to do Newtown. All right. It never happened. All right. And so the great thing about this story is that God can take something from an unseen realm, all right, and manifest it in the earth, all right, to benefit us and to bring wealth to us. And so I'm believing that for you today, all right, that there's going to be power in the power of prophetic words to open up destiny paths for you with homes, with houses, and with lands, all right? And so, Father, I thank you for each one here today. And, Lord, I decree over them, God, that you're a God of provision. And, Lord, you are a God of breakthrough. And so, Lord, I decree now, Father, that they're going to step into homes, houses, lands, Father, that will be new, that will be surprises, and that will be great according to your name. And your name is great. And so, Father, we loose that and decree it today in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen, 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 amen. All right. I'm going to see if the worship team, could you guys come back for a minute? And then I want to do something yet today. Yeah, come on. Yeah. And I just want to lay hands on you. Just come on up. Yeah, I know. And lay hands on you and give you a charge today. Father, I thank you for this young man. I lay hands on him. Father, I thank you, Lord, that he's going to see things that others don't, and he's going to hear sounds that others don't. And he's going to be able to capture some sounds of heaven and make them manifested in the earth. And Lord, I loose that anointing, Father, to flow with you, and Father, even to write songs that have to do with the transformation of this local church in new places of destiny. Lord, sometimes to be warring, sometimes to be worshiping. Lord, like David of old, Father, he has that sensitive heart to you. And Lord, I thank you for the newness now you're bringing to him in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. All right, amen. All right. Well, here's what I want to do today. I want to give you a charge, those that would like it, for this new season and path of destiny. I believe that the Lord is releasing to you, and that I'm believing that there's going to be a new grace empowerment to keep you on track, all right? Not moving to the right, not moving to the left, but being on course with what God has for you, and to win the race that you're in, all right? When Paul finally got to a place in his life where he said, you know, I finished my race, all right? I fought a good fight, all right? And he knew that his time of end was there. And he knew that he had run everything that God had appointed him to do, and said, I fought the good fight. I've kept the faith, is how he ended it, all right? And so when we fulfill our destiny, that will be true for us, all right? That we've run the race, we've fought a good fight, and we've kept the faith, all right? And that'll be a great reward, I believe, in the heavenlies. And I really believe that in these lanes that you're called to run in. Sometimes there may be obstacles, all right? Sometimes there may be hurdles that we have to go over or go through on the pathway that we're on. It's not always not going to be easy. There'll be days of war. There'll be days of battle. But if we can come to that point where we can say that I've run my race, I've fought a good fight, and I've kept the faith, I believe for eternity, there's going to be great rewards, all right, for people that do that. And I believe that you're called to be a people that make that happen and that finish the race that God has called you each to, all right? And so we can have a race running, fulfilling song, whatever that is, all right? And for those that would like, want to just come up, I just want to lay hands on you quick and give you a charge today.